Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. Make sure that you're listening in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have your cue to call for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, as we have been all morning, spending time talking about the debacle of a day yesterday with the Tennessee football program, the craziness surrounding this program. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, how are we doing? Did you get any sleep last night?
Not a ton, but, another day. I got to get used to operating on 3 hours sleep for the next month or so. looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun time for you, David. David, I guess we'll start simply with this. What was your reaction to everything that went down yesterday, and what did you think of that press conference put together by Plowman and Randy Boyd and Philip Fulmer, and just the at times awkward nature of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, things have been trending in this direction, you know, for a while. I mean, I think, you know, since this investigation became public, you know, talking to people, since, you know, a couple days after that A&M game, you know, I haven't talked to anybody who really thought these guys were coming back next year. I mean, there was certainly a lot of pessimism regarding, you know, Jerry Pruitt being Tennessee's head coach in 2021. The odds were against that for quite some time. You know, you never know how things can play out. But then, of course, yesterday, you know, Tennessee laid it on pretty thick, you know, sort of blaming Jerry Pruitt for a lot of the issues that had come up in the program, and didn't talk really at all about wins and losses. We talked mostly about, you know, these improprieties in the investigation. And then, of course, you see his lawyer after the fact coming in, calling it an orchestrated effort, all these things. And, you know, yesterday was, it felt a little bit like the beginning of something rather than the end of something, I got to say.
So, David, without knowing all the details of the investigation at this point, a couple questions about that. One, how severe do you guess the final bottom line of sanctions will be for Tennessee? And two, do you think that, I mean, because if I don't really follow college athletics and I listened to that press conference yesterday, I think, oh, my God, Jeremy Pruitt is a bad person and Tennessee cheats like crazy, and it's very different from other Power Five college football programs. So my question then, my second question is, do you think that what Tennessee has been doing goes well beyond the norm for, say, an SEC football program, or do you think this is more a case of being sloppy?
Well, I think so two things. One, I think if a lot of programs did a thorough and an internal investigation, Tennessee did, they'd probably find some similar things around the SEC. You know, just about everywhere but Vanderbilt, probably you'd find similar things. But it's different when your university is doing an internal investigation and when the NCAA does it. You know, you look at how the NCAA handled, you know, UNC or LSU or other investigations in the past. The NCAA has very, very little power. A lot of schools circle the wagons, say, don't say anything, they got to prove it, so-and-so. It's a little different when a university-hired attorney says, you've got to come sit down for 7 hours. You know, if the NCAA says, Jeremy Pruitt, national championship-winning coach, needs to come talk to us, there's not a lot of impetus for him to talk to them. You know, they can only do so much, certainly not for 7 hours. So just the investigations are different. Was Tennessee looking for something to fire Jerry Pruitt? I can never know exactly what those conversations were like, but I do feel pretty strongly that if Tennessee had a much better season in 2020, I think that complaint from the, you know, as they would call it, credible source, it's probably handled a little differently. I'm not sure they're paying two lawyers $875 an hour to come in and look under the hood and take a look at everything that's going on. I just think that to believe that that's the case, I think is naive. That's not how big-time college athletics operates. That's not how, when you have a cash cow, things look. But if you have you know, a motivation to say, hey, if we look at these things, you know, we can probably get out of here without paying $12 million. I mean, the motivation looks a little different. And again, you can never really know how these conversations go down. And it's not that Tennessee would try to, you know, necessarily hide these things, but I think, you know, schools don't aggressively look at themselves quite as seriously when they have, a coach that they are trying to preserve. I think that's just how things work.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, where does Tennessee go from here? Because my guess would be this job is not viewed very favorably nationally just based on the way the last coaching search went and just the environment around this program. And obviously, this can't do anything but hurt that. So how do you think this job is viewed from the coaching candidates that theoretically Tennessee is going to go out there and try to hire, some of which are going to include Power 5 guys who have done it before and have proven it at this level?
Well, when you go talk to a candidate right now and they say, what's the deal with the NCAA stuff? What am I dealing with? They're not going to be able to give you a solid answer. It's a gamble at this point because you don't know, you know, how many scholarships am I going to be losing? Am I going to be dealing with a bowl ban? Am I going to be dealing with, recruiting limitations? You don't know that. But you can say it's probably not going to be a slap on the wrist. Now, that said, I think the only two candidates that you know are going to take this job regardless are Jamie Chadwell and Hugh Freeze. Those two candidates are probably going to be somewhat polarizing. I think Tennessee, is not going to just sit there and walk up to those guys and hand them a contract. They're going to talk to a lot of folks. And, of course, from the fans, you know, obviously Hugh Freeze would please some people, anger some other people. And, again, considering how much talk there was about integrity and doing things the right way, and when you look at how it ended for Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss and, you know, vacating wins, I just don't – the odds seemed a little long for him. I would say they're pretty close to zero after hearing the university leadership talk yesterday. So at that point, then you sort of have to look around and hope that somebody has their eye on this job. I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, I think that O'Brien does make a lot of sense, but – you know, in terms of how attractive this job is going to depend on the person. But I don't think they're going to have a ton of people beating down the door to come here and, take over a pretty good roster that is probably getting worse by the day when you look at the transfer portal. And dealing with an NCAA situation that is uncertain but serious. It's going to be tough for whoever Tennessee hires as an athletic director to come make this hire.
So I can't – I mean, among the many incredible things said yesterday at this presser, David, that I'm like, oh, the opposite of that is true. The Kevin Steele, situation, I mean, it's just – to me, Kevin Steele isn't signing up at a place with a lame duck coach unless he thinks this is a possibility and maybe he's getting his shot. Do you think it's possible that Kevin Steele – gets the 2021 season as a sort of tryout, and is there any value in that? I mean, to me, I don't know how you can really recruit well under that situation, but do you think that's possible? Do you think there's any value in it?
Well, it's definitely possible, but I think the biggest issue is I don't think fans are going to be super fired up about that. The average Tennessee fan, I don't think, is super excited about the idea of Kevin Steele taking over. And like you said, yeah, recruiting – you know, you need that early bounce. 2022 is such a crucial year in the state. Huge recruiting year in the state. You've got to, win some recruiting battles in your home state there. And you need somebody. The idea that you're going to have this tryout and have Kevin Steele wear this interim tag for a year, I mean, that's really hard for not only him, but for assistants. You know, I remember, not to compare the two situations, but at Baylor, you had a similar situation with Jim Grobe. The assistants on that staff were just, like, not recruiting. Like, just not recruiting at all. And their class suffered because of it. And I'm not saying that would happen here, but the motivation is just not the same when you have a lame duck staff with Kevin Steele, who knows what's going to happen next year, versus everybody gets in there, year one, our head coach is on a six-year deal. You know, he's a hungry guy. It's just different. And so I think that's possible, but I think the only scenario in which that happens is, if he comes in there and wows them in an interview, which I'm sure he'll get, or, you know, Tennessee has a nice little throwback to 2017 where your options are running real thin. But again, I think Jamie Chadwell, no question, I think would take this job, and I think that's a better option than trying to play the middle ground or, you know, give the job to Kevin Steele.
David, last thing for you. What's been the reaction that you've noticed with Tennessee players, both on the roster and commits that they've had? What's been their reaction to Jeremy Pruitt being fired?
I mean, it's kind of about what you think. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt really inspired a lot of loyalty from all guys. For all of his shortcomings, his players loved him. His players loved playing for him. And that didn't ever change. And so they're disappointed. I think, you know, around our close to the program, I think there was some level of naivete over the last month of how this was really going to play out. Just talking to people, I don't think people realized that this was trending in this direction hard. I think there was some denial going on there. And I'm sure players, it's easy to sort of dismiss as like, well, that's just media rumors, or, you know, this isn't that big of a deal, or so-and-so, or he'll survive this, you know, all that. And so there was a little bit of shock yesterday. And quite honestly, I was a little shocked at the shocking, at the players that were just really surprised. Because this has been trending in that direction for quite some time. So, you know, it's sort of predictable. I think players, you know, were sad and are going to miss the guy. And, you know, we'll see what whoever comes up next, you know, can win these guys over. I mean, Jerry Pruitt did it when he took over from Butch Jones. And we'll see whoever replaces Jerry Pruitt, kind of how that goes early on.
Well, David, if there's one thing we learned yesterday, it's that the recruiting was good for Jeremy Pruitt during his time with Tennessee. So I'm glad we cleared that up. Thanks for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubbins.
Take a nap, David.
Has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react to a little of what David had to say there and talk about where the Vols go from here. Who should be their target to become the next head coach at Tennessee? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.